The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today's Tuesday, August 10th, and I do have our congressman from the 4th District, William Timmons, on the line with me. Hey, good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Doug. Great to be with you. I hope you're doing well.
I am. So, you know, the discussion today is about the infrastructure bill, and I just had a clip from Mitt Romney, who basically said, listen, it's all good because we get to work together. Is that the attitude up there that it's, quote, finally something bipartisan and it took Biden to do it?
Well, bipartisan at the expense of $1.2 trillion, of which the majority of it is not paid for. So we're going to add $500 billion to our debt. I don't know if that's the kind of bipartisanship I was hoping for.
Yeah. So, you know, I will say the listeners have called and have written in. And you know, it is quite concerning. Where are we going to get the money to pay for this? What are your thoughts on the issue?
Well, tell them to have more children, because we need more people to pay off our debt, and the children they're going to have, their children and their children's children will be the ones that are paying it off, because we're over $30 trillion now, and it doesn't seem like anybody has any intent to stop. I've been talking about debt ever since I ran for Congress, and it's frustrating in Washington. The bipartisan agreement is just to everybody get what they want, and we'll figure out how to pay for it later. That's not going to work out for our country long term.
So what are the calls coming into your office about?
Yeah, I've had a lot of people asking what exactly is going to be used to pay for this. There's all these different things out there. Some people say that it's all paid for. The Congressional Budget Office said that it's got $250 billion worth of debt. But if you really look into it, I think that it's a lot more than that. They're repurposing $205 billion in COVID funds. This is my favorite one. $50 billion from recouping fraudulently paid federal unemployment benefits. So we fraudulently paid out $50 billion to people that are now going to be prosecuted for stealing from the federal government. Do you think they actually still have that money? Do you think they're going to be like, okay, well, here, I'm going to give it back to you now.
Yeah.
The list goes on and on. It's all voodoo math, and I'm not confident that it's even half paid for. So we're going to add $500 billion to the debt. And there's one other thing that I want to point out. How many businesses in the upstate right now and all over the country are unable to get people to work? And, you know, there's a shortage of labor. We got 9 million jobs that are still available, but nobody seems to want to go back to work. If we pass this $1.2 trillion infrastructure package, that's going to create enormous numbers of jobs, making it even harder for these small businesses to get people to come back to work. That's another variable. So I really want to do an infrastructure package, but it needs to have logical pay fors. We have to have the people that are using the roads, the bridges, the airports, the ports, all of these logical sources of revenue to pay for it. And the Biden administration refused to do that. All at the same time, they're causing inflation to go up and not doing anything about the southern border. We just got a lot of bad policymaking in Washington right now.
You know, thank you for that. And also, I'm hearing that House Democrats are continuing their line that they will not vote on a bipartisan infrastructure deal without the reconciliation package. Is that what you're hearing also, that it comes together even though they were, you know, they say it's two different tracks, but actually, it's probably not, and they probably have the votes to pass it.
The Speaker has, on multiple occasions, said that she will not allow the House to vote on the infrastructure package that the Senate's going to pass here in a couple hours until the Senate passes a $3.5 trillion reconciliation package. So they are linked, and the question becomes, I mean, the Speaker doesn't have the votes. She just doesn't have the votes. So they don't have the votes in the Senate for the $3.5 trillion reconciliation package. They don't have the votes in the House. So she's going to lose her more moderate members if she tries to force a reconciliation vote of that magnitude, and if she tries to put the infrastructure package up going against what she said she's going to do, she's going to lose the extremists. So, you know, she's in a tough spot. It's going to be an interesting few months.
So if you had to wave a magic wand, give me a prediction, what do you say is actually going to happen?
We're going to vote right before Christmas on a continuing resolution, and that'll be it.
Huh. So you say that it's pretty close in the Senate. Is Kristen Sinema still on vacation and Lindsey Graham still being quarantined?
Well, the issue of the Senate is the magnitude of the bill, the $3.5 trillion, and the question about the debt ceiling. So the White House and the Treasury Secretary want a 60-person vote in the Senate, so some more bipartisanship to increase our debt ceiling. And that's probably not going to happen, and so they're going to have to do it in reconciliation. But if they do it in reconciliation, it's going to be very bad for a lot of these members because you know, it's just going to be a disaster. So the question becomes, how do they cobble together enough votes to pass a reconciliation package with a debt ceiling increase? And what is that number? It's not $3.5 trillion. It might be 1.5, but the social safety net, the expansion of government benefits and the expansion of government mandates for businesses in this proposed package are societal transforming, in not in a good way. You know, it's more of what we're seeing right now with COVID, paying people to stay home and not work, and disincentivizing economic growth, economic opportunity. It's not good. So the good news is they don't have the votes, and it's going to be interesting to watch everything play out.
Do you think if we can just hold out a little bit longer and people start to look at all the money that's being wasted, in a sense, with different pet projects, do you think folks will be reaching out to their elected officials saying, absolutely not?
You know, not necessarily. I've been a proponent of a bipartisan infrastructure package for the last 2.5 years. But what they've done is they've done a lot of the investment that we need to make. They've added in a little bit of social and environmental priorities of the Democrats, but they've removed all of the logical connected payments because Biden doesn't want to increase taxes on anyone making under $400,000. But the federal gas tax hasn't been touched in forever. We need to create sources of revenue to pay for uses. And just going from the general fund and using debt to pay for it is not the right thing. But we're going to have to address our debt at some point, and we're just going to be held holding. It's going to be bad news in a 5 or 10, 15, 20 years when we figure out what our debt limit is as a country, what the world says our debt limit is. So we got to get our spending under control, and we got to make investments in our infrastructure to maintain our competitiveness in the global economy, because our businesses won't be able to compete if we have crumbling infrastructure. But the way that it's going down right now is not the way that I would prefer to see it. But I think at the end of the day, what's going to happen is the Democrats are going to realize that they're going to have to legitimately work with Republicans, not in this farcical manner where the House Democrats are going to say, oh, thank you for this bipartisan piece of legislation you just passed, but we're going to need you to put $3.5 trillion on the backs of the Americans for social programs and environmental policy in order to actually get this across the finish line. That's not good faith negotiation. That's not good faith cooperation, and it's not going to work out for him.
All right. I've enjoyed speaking today with our Congressman William Timmons. He represents us from the 4th District up here. Thank you, Congressman Timmons, for your time this morning.
Look forward to next week. Take care.
All right, buddy.